Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we are living the dream here at Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from Wrestling with Pop Culture and Josh Wheeler, and I believe we're not going to hear, oh, maybe that's him now, Johnny Danger. Is that you, Johnny? No, that's not Johnny Danger. All right. Anyway, Johnny Danger, for those who don't know, freak accident that I'll let him tell when he is able to be on the show. Hurt his knee pretty badly at the PWR Jason Speed Memorial, so it looks like it will just be me and you, Josh, tonight, at least for now.
Awesome. That's if you don't kick me off in the next 10 minutes, because I got a lot to say. But first off, how was the Speedy Memorial show?
The Speed Memorial was a good show. It, of course, if you don't know, it's a six-man tag, because that's what Jason Speed's favorite match was, so it was a six-man tag tournament, and the teams involved were very interesting. It was, of course, Johnny Danger as the Rock and Roll Models, which is already a three-man team, as well as Aja Pereira. So they were part of it. We saw The Reckoning, which meant Rick Michaels returned to PWR after a few months. There is the Red Carpet Society, which was CB Suave and two guys that I was not familiar with. I guess they were from TNT's earlier days, or, you know, PWR used to be TNT.
Right.
Anyway, so the fraternity, which was Marco Polo, Jeter, and Brian Blaze, lots of teams. But I think the most interesting one was the Sugar Junkies, which was Danny Only, Strychnine, which are the Hate Junkies with, and who apparently was traveling with Danny Only all weekend. I think they did Resistance Pro in Chicago on Friday, and then they were both at UIW on Saturday and both at Pro Wrestling Resurrection yesterday. They ended up in the finals with The Reckoning, and then The Reckoning ended up winning the tournament. So that's how that played out. But, yeah, it was a good show. It was much better attended than most PWR shows. I would say about 50 people there, which isn't bad.
God.
Well,
but it was a tough day. You had the NFC Championship, the AFC Championship, and, you know, NFL still fucking rules this world, so.
Yeah. And then I went to Micro Championship Wrestling on Saturday, which was better than the previous two times that I've seen there as well. But that was the extent of my wrestling for the weekend.
I went to no wrestling this weekend because, unfortunately, I work on Saturdays, and the only good show was on a Saturday. So I was pretty much stuck. I was studying up on a lot of Georgia shit. I wouldn't say I was out of touch, but I could definitely tell last week that I was definitely phoning it in. Pardon the really bad pun there, but it's something against Matt Sells and it's something against PWR. But he did say something last week that kind of like caught me, and I was like, let me research this. So I researched it on Tuesday, and I was like, he used a bunch of shit talent at last year's Speedy Memorial show, and I felt like, I mean, I know he's not the booker per se, but just reading the last year's card and hearing what you just told me about this year's, at least the roster was greatly improved. It sucks that it didn't draw better. And then that's kind of like where my head has been the past few days, and I'm sure some people are going to call me delusional and make reference to me being pig shit and you dog shit again. But and I'm okay with that because, you know, it is what it is. And I really don't want to, like, yell at this point, but I am pretty angry after last week's show. I really just was just – I was very disappointed in myself, honestly. And I was very disappointed at the fact that I let some things get said that I didn't check because that's not like me. So this week I want to check some people. I want to check Georgia Wrestling in general, Jonathan. Have you ever watched the TV show Bar Rescue?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, basically, John Taffer, you know, short story long, is a he goes and he rescues bars. I'm sure there's other TV shows like this, and he does a lot of yelling when your fucking bar looks like shit, and he should. I mean, you know, being a former bartender, I can go into a bar or a restaurant, I can see shit that shouldn't be, and wrestling is a lot like that. It's an analogy that we can all kind of agree with, and you've been to a bad restaurant where you look at the food and you know you should not eat that. You've been to a bad restaurant where there's bugs, where there's fucking shit all over the tables, where the waitresses and waiters don't give a fuck, where the chef probably isn't trained to really cook. We've all seen it, and that to me is what Georgia wrestling sort of is an analogy for, because there's way too many shitty fucking restaurants in this goddamn state. Not the talent. Some of the talent's decent, okay? As a matter of fact, there's a lot of good young talent. There's a lot of greenhorns. And I'm not one to call out someone for being fucking green, but I am going to call out, some promoters and some promotions. I won't say any names right now, but, you know, if your product looks like shit and you know it looks like shit and you don't improve that shit, well, please know from this point forward on Georgia Wrestling Now, I'm calling your motherfucking ass out. I will start dropping names in about 20 minutes in this show if I feel like it. And I can't tell you how to make money in the wrestling business. If I could tell you how to make money in the wrestling business, I'd be in the fucking wrestling business, and you wouldn't be, because I'd put your fucking sorry ass out of the business. Because I would like to run a five-star establishment, a place where, yeah, the product is going to be top-notch, the prices might be a little higher, but I can justify it because I got a goddamn website, or I got fucking real talent. And that's the other thing. Where's the websites in Georgia? Jonathan, you're a web guy. What fucking promotion in Georgia besides Anarchy has a good running website?
All-Star Wrestling Network has a website.
Okay.
Which is the other one down in near where Rampage was.
Right.
Peach State
does it look better than Rampage's? Because Rampage's website was a piece of shit, and I used to tell everybody in the office that your website looks like shit.
Yeah, well, I guess it's about the same. Peach State has a nice website, which they just launched just a few months ago.
Well, that's good.
I think Diamond Pro Wrestling has a website, but it's not a very good one.
See, and that's my point. You have taken the time to build a website. Okay, you've taken the time to build a website for what you promote. Alicia Stockton has a Blogspot page. Georgia Wrestling History has a website and a fucking Blogspot page for their news and notes. So if the bloggers and the journalists of this fucking state have a goddamn website, why don't the fucking promotions? That's your business card in 2014. We live in the goddamn digital world, people.
Well,
but anyway, I'm trying not to get mad here.
I don't think they still have this title, but UIW, Universal Independent Wrestling, for a while had an internet championship, and they didn't have a website. But I think they've since changed the name of that title or replaced it with another one or something.
See, you're just playing right into my hand. Since I moved to Georgia.
By the way, I think we've got Johnny Danger with us.
Oh, yeah,
now,
well, go ahead.
So you know.
Get Johnny on before I get too going.
Hey, I was having fun. I didn't want to say anything.
Well,
no, you're good.
I know your time is limited because of your injury and the medication you're on, so I figured, you know, we'll see what you need to say if you want to talk about yesterday's show or what happened to your knee or whatever.
Yeah, we'll start off with that. So this is the PWR, the second annual Jason Speed Memorial Show, and the Rock and Roll Models weren't doing too bad for ourselves. We'd already won two matches against teams including, you know, talented guys like God's Gift to Wrestling and the Washington Bullets, and we're fixing to take on the Sugar Junkies, which was the team of Sugar Dunkerton and the Hate Junkies, Strychnine and Danny Only. I'm in there just being Johnny Danger, goofing around with Sugar Dunkerton, and my left knee suddenly feels like somebody just kicked me as hard as they could. I look down, and my kneecap is all the way on the left side of my leg. You know, I still have no idea how this exactly happened. I was just kneeling down, kind of goofing around. And that took me out of the tournament, sent me to the hospital.
I think you got excited about Sugar Dunkerton started singing Pour Some Sugar on Me, so he was trying to trying to appeal to your rock and roll standards.
He did. Maybe that was the plan all along, and it sure worked. It knocked me out of competition.
So was it a ligament pull or something? That sounds pretty nasty.
The official word is that it was a dislocated patella. I'm going to see a specialist real early in the morning tomorrow to make sure there was no ligament or tendon damage. The x-rays came back good, but there's still some concern.
Right.
And I'm just going to clear that up before I talk about, you know, getting back in the ring or anything like that.
Oh, man, that's fucking scary, dude.
Yeah, I've been through some shit. I mean, I herniated 2 discs in my spine, but the pain from this blows everything away.
Ugh.
Ugh. Well, I understand, you know, you gave me a heads up earlier. I understand if you need to go get some rest since you got to get up early and all that. So, you know, if you need to go now, that's fine, or if you want to hang out for a little while. We're talking to Tyson Dean in a little while and Todd Sexton a little after that. So I don't know if you have questions for those guys or anything.
You know, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I just wanted to check in with you guys and let everybody know what was going on.
Get
all
to
right,
feeling
well,
better, man, because that just sounds so fucking painful, man.
Yeah, go get some rest.
I appreciate it, man. It was terrible, and hopefully I'm going to put it behind me and come back stronger. And as soon as I know something, I'll let you guys know.
All right, we'll get some rest, and hopefully we'll hear from you next week.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right,
God,
so we do need to get ready for our first guest, but if you still had more to say, Josh.
Yeah, I got a little bit more to say, because I'm bashing the promotions, but let me bash on the boys. First off, stop using the term shoot fucking job on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. That's the stupidest thing, and it's an insult to goddamn pro wrestling. If you work a shoot job, okay, that's great. You work a fucking shoot job. So what does that say about your wrestling career? Oh, that's right. It's a pipe dream, and you don't respect it, so get the fuck out. The other thing, if you're out of shape and you look like you have no aspirations for getting better, get the fuck out. You're a bunch of cockroaches. The business of wrestling is already fringy at best, especially independent wrestling. And not all indie shows are bad, not all indie workers are bad, but the bad ones outweigh the good ones, and it's hurting the whole business. You motherfuckers are lucky that Ole Anderson is not in this business, because 98 fucking percent of you shitbags wouldn't be in the business. Fuck, I won't even lie. I wouldn't be in the business if Ole Anderson was still in the business, because George would be making goddamn money, and you wouldn't need an asshole like me to fucking try to run a shit show. As far as this podcast goes, and Jonathan, I like you. I really do like you. But last week was absolutely atrocious. This show has become the fucking morgue. I'm trying to resurrect the dead, and Jesus Christ, I am not Jesus. I don't know what it's going to take. We're trying to get our chemistry together, but the first thing I want to say is no more kayfabe talk, you motherfuckers. If you come on this fucking show, have something to say. Try to sell me some goddamn tickets. Get your gun cocked. Be ready to shoot. Be ready to be controversial. Richard Sherman, last night, NFC Championship game, Richard Sherman got 37 seconds of TV time. He's a fucking top star in the world right now. Everybody's talking about Richard Sherman because he cut a goddamn wrestling promo in front of a football audience, and they've never seen shit like this. I know there's people that can talk in this industry, and if you can't talk and you're in this industry, you're a cockroach too. Get the fuck out. And you know what? I remember this old quote, and I'm going to end on this, and we'll let Tyson come on. If you're in this business, you better leave this business better than you found it. And by God, none of you guys, outside a certain handful, maybe about 20 guys are making this place better. And you, the ones that fucking bitch about how much they get paid and they're not worth a fucking dollar, look at how many asses are in the seats and then tell me you deserve to make fucking 5. Because I disagree. You're worth minimum wage, and that's how some of these promoters should pay your sorry asses. But the guys that are worth, you know, a little bit more, they should get paid. Why? Because if there's an older guy, if it's a Jeff G. Bailey, a Todd Sexton who's going to be on later, if it's a Murder One, a Sal Renaro, Jimmy Rave, I can go on for days and name every guy that you should book. Rick Michaels, Simon Zerman should get booked. Fucking Dan Wilson and Tank and Tempers, they should all be getting booked every fucking weekend. You know why they should be getting booked every weekend? Because they can make your show better, they can make your show look better, and they can make your talent that's all fucking green better. Rip Rogers was on my old podcast, Pro Wrestling is Dead, and Rip Rogers said, one of the problems with the business is you got a bunch of green guys leading green guys, and that don't make green, and I completely agree. The rest of you Georgia fucks can kiss my ass. I don't care about burning bridges. Call me delusional. Write a fucking full disclosure, Steve. I don't care. Someone needs to say this shit. Okay, I'm good now.
All right. Well, I think that will lead nicely into our first guest. I'm going to bring him on.
The champ is here.
Uh-huh.
The champ is here.
I have arrived.
The champ is here.
Holla.
The champ is here. The champ
is here. I'm going to kill him with the first verse. And I'm going to bury him with the second.
All right. That is the NWA Georgia heavyweight champion Tyson Dean. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing pretty good. Fucking Josh
Tyson,
just stole every bit of my thunder.
Hey, before you say anything, I apologize if I took any of your thunder, but you better have something good to say because I'm not having an interview like I did last week with Jimmy the fucking kid. If you're on my show, you're in the hot seat, and I'm asking the tough questions at this point on. I'm the Larry King of this goddamn shit. So what do you got to say?
Exactly what you just said. That's what I had to say. It was going to be a sharp promo a couple weeks ago about I sat around and I've seen dudes that are like, I saw a kid the other day, Bill, as another Georgia heavyweight champion that I swear he was 160 fucking pounds.
Oh, yeah, you'll see that all day long.
You're not a fucking heavyweight. I mean, honest to God, I'm around 215 pounds. At wrestling's heyday, the height, I would have been a junior heavyweight.
Yep.
Nowadays, that can go as barely being a heavyweight, but just, you know, skinny-ass dudes that flip-flop all over the place and think that shit's getting over, you know, missing fucking spots and everything, looking like a record on repeat because they got to go back to what their little rehearsed shit was, or fat dudes hoping and praying to Jesus Christ above that the spandex is strong enough to hold the gun in by the end of the match. I'm starting to see that shit, man. I mean, it was the exact same thing you just said. Is what I was about to say. What ask Jonathan if he passed my damn notes along to you?
No, he didn't. That's what's so funny. It's like I've been working this thing all fucking week. I've been watching a lot of George Carlin and fucking some shitty Georgia independent wrestling this past weekend. Before we get too much into it, Tyson, I got to ask you. You are by far one of the more talented guys at NWA Atlanta. I saw it back when it was MGCW and I was working with you guys, and I knew right then that you had something. Because I went to Andy and I went to Rick and I said, look, if I'm going to be here managing, I want to get a guy who can work with this guy to make him better. Because I saw something in you. I still think that you're one of the top guys in that company. Why won't you go some other places, man? Come on.
I've been getting out of some other places. I've started working AWN regularly down in Fort Valley.
Okay.
Going down to SPW in Columbus. I've worked Diamond Pro a little bit. I've talked to, just this week, Saturday night, I talked to a promoter in Alabama and one in Mississippi today. And then talked to someone the other day about getting out to Texas around in March to do something out there with some of the NWA promotions, because, I mean, realistically what my goal is, before I end, I want to go to Japan at least a couple of times, and right now Texas is the closest leapfrog I've got to that, and so
Yeah, Bruce Tharp's got a good thing, and a lot of people shit on Bruce Tharp when he took over the NWA because he did, create some very Mark-type ideas. But, hey, I mean, he's got some great group of guys that are going to New Japan. Rob Conway is looking phenomenal, the NWA World Champion. He's doing some good stuff. I mean, a lot of people don't like the guy because of what he did, but, you know, he's doing some good stuff.
Up,
I have to give him a little bit of credit.
He shook up the good old boy network. That's why a lot of people don't like him.
Yeah, well, I give you that. Yeah, and he put some prices on some things that people didn't really want to pay for. So I see what he did.
He's running the shit like a business now. Everybody wants to use the word respect the business. Run the shit like a business then.
Don't try to stick
your fucking guys and not pay them and talk about how they should be honored to work here and you're getting this and fuck that. You know, if I'm gonna come out here and I'm gonna put my body at risk, you're going to pay me. That's the reason why I haven't gone to a lot of places, because all these people are like, hey, why don't you come down here and do this? Well, what are you paying? Well, you know, we're not, and they hit all around, and I'm like, all right, well, we're done. And that's God's honest truth.
I'll agree and disagree at the same time, because there's some promotions that they may not pay the best, but they're going to give you something that a lot of other promotions can't. I mean, you know, I'll say it right now. Up in Cornelia, Anarchy, Georgia, I mean – or Anarchy Wrestling, Cornelia, Georgia. They may not pay the best, but you're going to get an education, and a lot of guys need that. And you can, I mean, seriously, look at the list of guys that have went through that building that are somebody now that all paid, you know, that made $5, $10 at a hot dog and a Coke, but look where they're at now. So I see it and I disagree with it. But again, it's like what I was saying in my rant is a lot of these promotions, I didn't say it, you know, verbatim, but a lot of these promotions should probably start looking at paying a percentage and not a fucking guarantee, because some of you guys, not you in general, Tyson, I want you to know this, but some of these guys don't deserve a fucking guarantee. A guy I was talking to was talking to me about it. I straight up told him, I said, dude, you don't deserve that fucking dollar amount. Stop fucking joking.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with that, because, I mean, I've seen guys, and, you know, in Anarchy, I see what you're saying with Anarchy, because I went up there and just did a seminar the crew had put me on to, that, you know, I picked up a lot there, and, there's a lot of talent up there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've heard guys before where, you know, I don't talk money in the locker room or anything, but I've heard people talking money in the locker room and hearing what some guys get, and I'm like, fucking really? The only people here to see you are your family.
Right.
I mean, who else did you bring? And, you know, I can agree totally with what you're saying there.
Yeah, no, and I do feel like, and coming from the promoting world and all the, you shouldn't really lose money to go to a show, but you may not profit to go to a show, if that makes any sense.
And I mean, I understand that. That's, because doing this, believe me, I'm not, you're not going to make a killing doing this.
Yeah, but you can. But that's the thing. Like going to Cornelia, working with Bill, going to maybe Deep South up in Bluegrass and working with Big Woody, going maybe up to like the show up in Rossville. This is a good show, Empire. You know, you can at least network and get to know new guys and get to other places to work and so forth. UIW, they got some leadership issues which we'll address in the near future. But again, it's a show that you can go and you can get some experience. You can work with some better guys. Same with Peach State, you know. And you've worked with Rick a million times, so you got a little bit of education from Rick. So,
well, that's one thing that I'll say about NWA Atlanta. I mean, for whatever reason, it doesn't get talked about much at all. But a lot of those guys are at NWA Atlanta. I mean, Simon Sermon's been there quite a bit.
Oh, yep.
Rick Michaels has been,
Oh yeah, Rick's been there forever, and Rick is really like when I first saw MGCW, like I actually went to a show with some guys at Project 961, our morning show went, and we died laughing. I won't fucking lie, we died laughing at that show.
Oh,
and
I know.
I knew Danger and I knew Dave Wills, and so I started I talked to them about it, and they said, hey, if you want to really do some stuff, and shortly after. After some things happened in my personal life, I was like, well, I wouldn't mind, going back and helping out. And I did. I think that you definitely were the head of the class at the time that was there that was not, a known name. I've definitely seen some improvements in some of the stuff, and I can definitely see that crew has really worked with you. And that's why I think that you need to get out more. I need you. You need people to see you, and you need to get better. Luckily you're not having to stick there and fucking work. Some of the shit that was there, and so you can actually improve. But the sky's the limit for a guy your size, a guy that has your passion for the business. And I hate to use that buzzword, but you do. I mean, I've had conversations with you. You have a passion for the business.
Right. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, that's my goal this year. I started working on getting out more. Really and truly just getting outside of, not shooting anything on Georgia, but getting outside of Georgia, because I know the guys that have gone out to Texas in particular, it's a night and day different. I mean, the crowds they're drawing are different. The atmosphere is different. The type of work is different.
Yep.
Because everything here is just, you said not to keep it kayfabe, right?
You can say whatever the fuck you want to. I think most of this.
I mean,
that's always been the case on this show, though. You can say whatever you want on this show. I don't know why people think they have to
be kayfabe. For some reason, I was listening to some of the older shows, and guys coming on talking about their fucking championship belts. Your fucking belt don't mean shit. You ain't drawing.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, if you're a fucking United States tag team champion in the universe, your fucking show draws 10 fucking people. Fuck you.
Right. You mean I can't be the world heavyweight champion of fucking Shipdale, Georgia, or whatever, even though the belt never goes outside that town?
Of course you can't.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying earlier. I think the easiest way to remedy some of that is to not have any show that's just a local show have a heavyweight or a world champion. I don't understand why.
I agree. If it was up to me, if I ran professional wrestling, you would have two titles. You would have the company's title, you'd have a tag title, and that's it. And if you guys can't fucking book around that shit, get the fuck out, you cockroaches.
Right. That's
you got some shows that have five or six title belts and 12 guys on roster.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Jesus Christ. It was like, I mean, I've been at some places where it's like every time I look around the locker room, somebody's got a belt on. I'm like, fuck, I should have brought mine with me. Because, I mean, it just...
Well, yours actually
has
some meat. You're the Georgia heavyweight champion, NWA Georgia heavyweight champion that has, I guess, its lineage goes back to actually to Anarchy and Wildside and... But,
yeah.
I mean, it's got some history.
I mean, it goes back. Look at the – and I mean, for – that belt means a ton to me just because – and that's a lot of the thing with why I've busted my ass so much to get in better shape, for my work to get better and everything else, because I'll be damned if I don't want anybody to be able to say, well, that guy's – you know, he doesn't – there's no way in hell he should be that or anything because – to me, that belt does mean a lot because with the NWA, that was something that the NWA had to grant permission for to bring it back. Being honest, it's the only title in Georgia that the person that holds that belt is in line to work a match with a guy that's a true, honest-to-God world traveling champion. So I'll be in line to wrestle the NWA world champion this year, national champion, or the North American champion, where it's a real traveling champion that's been somewhere outside of Georgia and outside of whatever town the show's in. That's my thing. It's not going to be something where some guy has to come in and carry my ass for a night. He's going to come in and get pushed to work hard for a night.
Well, speaking of all that, NWA Atlanta has a show this Saturday, right?
Yeah, this Saturday night in Locust Grove.
Are you defending the title there? What's the card look like?
I'll be wrestling J-Rod in the main event. That's a dude that I wrestled him down in Columbus back in November. And just being honest, you get in there with him, and no shit, be ready for a fight. Because,
oh, yeah, Jay, watch the knees.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, that's like one of the two times I've been cracked in a match where, like, I really got my bell rung. And I used to box, and so he cracked me with a kick, caught me right in the side of the jaw. I mean, it took me a second to get my shit together, you know what I mean? And I'd heard he was stiff and everything, but it was a lot like boxing. It was after the first shot, I was like, damn, all right, and it woke me up, you know, and after that, we went, but he's a guy that you can give what you get. He can take what you give, you know, and give it right back. He's not going to go in the back and cry about you being too stiff or anything else. So, I mean, we beat the shit out of each other, but it was a good match. And so, I mean, that's what I'm expecting Saturday night, is that it's going to be more of the same. I went blank. Payne, who else is on Saturday night? Payne will be working Sean Kuntz. I got so wound up I forgot the rest of the card.
Well,
I just
looked
the card too.
What's the website? NWAAtlanta.org, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to know the rest of the card, go there, I guess, right?
I'll make sure it gets updated.
Speaking of, I didn't even think of that earlier, Josh, when you're asking about websites. They've got a website, but
promotion of the website. Yay. Well, that was the last show you had. I can't find the new show you guys got going on. What the fuck?
Yeah,
right, let me go to your website.
I can't say it's updated all that often, but at least it's there.
NWAAtlanta.org.
Right.
I was thinking that whenever you ran your rant, I was like, yeah.
It's not updated. Fuck you guys. I'm pissing you now. I went to your website, it's not updated. Shame on NWA Atlanta for not updating your goddamn website on my fucking show. Okay, I'm good now.
Oh, it's not.
Sorry, I'm wound up this week, man. I apologize. No, I don't apologize.
Page.
Fuck it.
No, I mean, but hey, that's the kind of shit that it needs. I mean, I thought for a little while I was going to have to move out of state and start my own blog and start burying all the guys that I don't run around with to, you know, really get heard.
It's sad that you say that because, you know, moving to Florida and really seeing, you know, Georgia's got some talent, man. I mean, I'm not going to show the talent. There's talent. It's just there's so much shit talent, you don't see the good talent, and there's so many fucking maniacal, egotistical maniacs that fucking, you know, do whatever the fuck they want to, and they bury their own promotions, and they fuck their own selves over, and, I mean, don't get me wrong, I was one of those promoters, too. I mean, I fucking, you know, I did everything you could possibly do fucking wrong in the business just as much as anybody, and that's why I'm not doing it now, but, you know, if I ever get the formula, but the whole point is, you know, fucking make shit better, like, you know, like, bring in some talent here or there. I mean, you know, everybody talks shit about Andy Anderson. I mean, I worked with a guy, nicest fucking guy in the wrestling business, which is probably his biggest flaw. Like, that's probably his biggest flaw, but I mean, come on. The guy would bring in the Outlaws and draw 400 or 500 people. Professional fucking setup when he's at those high school gyms. Fucking, you know, smartly realized that he needed some booking help, goes and hires a guy like Crew Jones, who's got some booking experience, has Rick on board a lot of those shows. He's at least doing everything he can to improve his show, even if it's not the best show. I'm not going to sit here and say you guys are the best fucking show, but I can see just from 2011 when I was there to today, there has been major league improvement. Major league improvement.
That's one thing. I mean, you know, that was something the other night that Alicia Stockton, she wrote a review of the show. And, I mean, just being honest, she was spot. She was spot on about some of the storylines and everything. But that's something that, you know, we've recentered on and talked about and, you know, to start developing, making that better, I guess. And you're right. Andy catches a lot of shit, but it's from people that talk shit about Andy that doesn't know Andy. I mean, he and I go back fucking, we playing ball together whenever we were teenagers. I mean, he's a genuine guy. People, you know, rip him and this, that, and the other. And a lot of it's just people talking out their ass that don't even know the guy. And, you know, that kind of thing pisses me off. And then, like, the little thing I read the other day about the prayer being answered because Crew Jones wasn't writing about wrestling anymore. Only people whose prayers were answered was so he's not talking shit on the people that were worried about what he was saying. People like that were down. People like that, you know, those the rants like that were keeping everybody in check and pushing people to work harder.
I mean, agree.
That's one thing. That was why, you know, I sought Crew out for training and everything because I realized I wasn't where I needed to be, and I know I can still get better. So before all the bullshit talk starts on that I think I'm best, that's not the case. I work hard and seek out people all the time to try people that I think that can better me to train with and come in and train.
And that's the thing about Andy is Andy gets a lot of a bad rap that a lot of people think that he's kind of like Chris Nelms, and he's nothing like Chris Nelms. I know both of those guys. If you go and you get and Andy Anderson, you give him a pointer or you talk to him or you see him, he will ask everybody for advice. I've seen that. Chris Nelms, he might ask for advice, but he's not going to take it. I've seen Andy take that advice that's been given to him. I saw Andy Anderson and Rick Michaels have a good fucking match, okay?
Yeah.
I've seen Andy Anderson and you have a good fucking match. I've seen Andy Anderson have good matches. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Andy Anderson's the fucking king of Georgia because he's not, but I will say that you know what? For Andy Anderson to get fucking shit on because he wears Sting paint or whatever, who cares? The guy looks just like Sting. Fucking make a little bit of money off of him. Fuck it.
He went out to Texas to do a thing, tried to, because he didn't want to do the Sting thing, and got his ass reamed for not doing the face paint and everything, because people were like, you've got that look, do
he
it.
He looks just like
you. I mean,
dead fucking ringer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like, I catch shit all the time for the stupid-ass fake Stone Cold damn chance and everything else. I cannot help that I'm bald. That's it. I'm a bald-headed, white, muscular guy. There's nothing I can do to change that. If I could grow hair, I would. Shit ain't happening.
I mean, well, speaking of bald-headed, white guys, we got to get ready for our next guest, who is Todd Sexton.
that's another cool guy in Georgia.
Yeah? Well, we're we actually have never had him on the show, so
yeah, I'm excited about this.
I didn't realize that until the award show when we had him on briefly, but we do need to take a commercial break and then talk to him. But Tyson, did you want to stay on for that or?
No, I'm gonna head out, but hey, yeah, hey, pass along too. But I guess now he'd be the Fred Astaire of professional wrestling, Johnny Danger. So I hope he's doing better. His knee gets healed up and everything. That sucks. That's a bad break.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll hear that. We had him on briefly a little while ago, but he's on meds and stuff, so we got to let him go. But yeah. So
you should have pumped Danger for all his real thoughts. Then that's whenever you get him. People are liquored up or high. Pump him for all the information you can, Williams.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Anytime you guys want to raise hell or whatever else, give me a call. Even if it's to bust my balls for something stupid I've done, I'm sure I'll give you something to bitch about before it's over.
All right, well, we appreciate you calling in, and good luck this Saturday at the NWA Atlanta show.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
All right. All right, like I said, we're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Todd Sexton.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Josh Wheeler. As we mentioned earlier, our other co-host Johnny Danger is out with an injury this week, but our next guest is co-winner of the Booker of the Year Award in our wrestling, Todd Sexton. What response? It's been on hold for so long. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
How's it going?
Hello, right. Sir.
I know Josh.
I don't know if I'll be quite as dynamic. You guys doing all right?
Oh, we're doing great. Doing great.
Yeah. Congratulations
again. I didn't know if I'll be
What's that?
Jonathan, I'll let you start off because I got like a million questions. So.
Well, congratulations again on winning co-winning, I guess, the Booker of the Year award.
No, thank you very much. We were very flattered by that.
Of course, we talked to a lot of guys you've trained and a lot of Anarchy guys, and so glad to have you on the show finally. I'm not sure why it hasn't happened previously, but I know Josh has got a lot to ask for you, so I'm just going to let him go ahead.
Yeah, I requested the interview because I felt like we had, you know, a good, like, small talk the other night when you guys won the award. So first, let's lay the groundwork of Todd Sexton, the performer turned booker. I hate using the term performer. Fuck that wrestler. You started at Texas Wrestling Academy. Who all was in your training class? Because there were so many great classes. Which one was your class?
Actually, it wasn't the Texas Wrestling Academy yet. It was still the
Shawn Michaels
Wrestling Academy.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
We were one of the last classes. I think we were second to last class before Shawn gave up on it.
Right.
Where business was down the hat. He stopped doing TV. He just stopped doing TV for my class.
Right.
Because the TV costs were so high. And it's funny, the only other person that you would know in my class is Tony Stradlin,
okay,
or Tony Sumatra. But we got there, and the next day, Dragon, Brian Danielson,
right,
Spanky, Lance Cade, and Shooter Schultz, who was the guy who didn't quite make it, were all leaving for Nashville, which was still
right,
developmental territory. They'd been under contract for about a year at that point, and they were all in the first class. It's funny because me and Tony got there the same day. We were the first two guys there from our class, and we went and checked into the apartment complex. They said, oh, one of the wrestlers is moving, so he wants to give away his furniture. So we went, and that wrestler was Brian Danielson. So for the whole time I was there, I got Brian Danielson's couch and love seat and chair and stuff, so I can always claim that. That was – and then Spanky would come back from Nashville to Texas because they'd have a weekend off, and God bless him at the time anyway. He loved wrestling so much, would come down and hang out and train with us when we were training. And Matt Bentley / Michael Shane, whatever you want to
right,
call him, was a couple of classes before us, but he was working, and he was just going on the road with ECW. Because he was one of the guys that Heyman, or Dreamer especially, Tommy Dreamer at the time, was very high on, and along with a couple of other guys who were sort of lagging on his coattails. But,
right.
So that was pretty much it. I saw Lance for a second, met both Brian, Spanky, and Dragon. I never met Shooter Schultz, who disappeared from the business after he got released from the developmental deal.
Oh, yeah, he did disappear. I just realized that when you said the name, yeah. So, okay, so you go to the academy, then you move to Georgia. You hook up with Wildside.
Well, I'm from Georgia. I'm from Atlanta.
Right, you're from Georgia originally, because I remember you used to go to the Good Old Days shows, which, you know, I probably shouldn't know that, but I do.
That's awesome that you did. Yeah, I went to the Good Old Days shows, and I was working ring crew along with Jimmy Rave, and I didn't realize it was Jimmy Rave till later, doing the IWU.
Yes, the Moose shows. Yeah.
Yes, when I was trying to get my foot in the door and was going to be trained there, and then the Shawn School opened up, and I started saving money to move out to Texas because, you know, why wouldn't I?
It's actually crazy because I almost went to Moose's school.
You wouldn't have done anything.
Exactly, if I didn't go. Because I looked into it when I was in college. I was like, I don't think this school's for me, so I moved to Athens to get into radio. But, yeah, so that's pretty much – that's interesting. I didn't know that you had anything to do with IWU.
Here, real quick on that, when you said the Moose School, I was at one point going to be the head trainer when I came back from Texas. Don was the only guy I knew in the area because Murder One, who also I knew, but I didn't know how to get in touch with him when I came back to Georgia.
Right.
And I went with Don Lewis, and, of course, I had the Shawn Michaels thing going for me. Which opened a lot of doors for me when I first came back to Georgia, and he wanted me to be the head trainer, and then I realized, as most people who's ever worked with the Moose realize, how full of shit he was and realized that there was nothing absolutely here whatsoever. He ran one show once that he thought was good, then he ran a bunch of other shows with some good talent, with like Phoenix and stuff, but he was odd. total
yeah,
fucking
he,
idiot.
He had amazing talent. I remember the TV show was absolutely atrocious, but I was in college and I watched it anyway and was like, oh shit, he's out in like fucking like Buckhead. That's the closest school to me. And then
exactly, yeah, that's how I saw it too. It was right in town. So I thought, oh, I'll check this out. I won't have to move anywhere to break into the business. And then, but then I realized that's my first instinct on dealing with guys that are full of shit. Yeah.
So when you get to Wildside, Rick was booking when you first got there, right?
It was Bill and Rick.
Bill
and Steve and Rick was that sort of trifecta there, yeah. But, I mean, Bill, the WCW deal was in place.
Yep.
And I read about Wildside in the WOW magazines
out
in Texas. Ironically,
I miss that magazine.
Yeah, I know. Don't you? I still think somebody can make money doing a shoot magazine. Anyway, I read about Cornelia, Georgia when I was in Texas. They started covering some Wildside stuff, and I was like, I lived in Atlanta all my life. Where the fuck is Cornelia, Georgia? And but we ended up finding my way up there and stuff. But Rick and Bill and Steve were like the three power brokers. We really didn't know who was really in charge. It seemed like we heard there was always a tug and pull over who was the
yes.
real boss. But.
So who decides to put you with Tony Stradlin?
Me and Tony.
Okay.
Basically, that was it. I came here from, and then Tony followed me, which is Tony did for several years. Love him to death, and he follows me over here to Georgia. He was from California originally.
Right.
And he had nowhere to go, so he ended up coming to Georgia, where he actually had some relatives here. And me and Tony, and we did, I think we did like a battle, we were working the Friday shows and getting the occasional shot on the dark matches, so to speak, or being jobbers on Wildside TV. We did a show in Tacoma where we did a Battle Bowl gimmick, and where me and Tony were partners against Jimmy Rave and JC Daz. And me and Tony clicked as a tag team. And I suggested to Bill on a Friday night, hey, can we be a tag team and turn babyface? You'll be baby faces, and Bill was cool with it. And then we got over, you know, pretty good and pretty quick. And also, I think, you know, we were so green, but at the same time, we had what a lot of guys didn't, and that was the teachings of psychology from Sean and Rudy.
Right.
Gonzalez. So that gave us a real heads up on a lot of the guys that have already been working for years, where we didn't go through that awkward stage of trying to play out a match that a lot of guys did, because we already had that that ground knowledge that a lot of guys take a while to learn, that we were lucky to have that.
Now, you were lucky enough to be a part of what I consider probably one of the greatest tag team divisions in the history of fucking wrestling. Not even just Georgia wrestling, but wrestling. It was you guys, the Lost Boys. The Rage was a young up-and-coming team at the time.
Yeah,
of course, fucking Blackout was there. Tell me how it was like – fucking Tank and fucking White Trash was there, too. How was that like to get to work with so many great tag teams all at the same time? Plus, you know, Bill was bringing the Briscoes here or there, the SATs here or there. I think fucking didn't you guys get to work fucking Cashmere and fucking Acid, too, the Backseat Boys?
Yeah. Yeah, we worked them up in Philly for CZW, and when Bill brought them down for the tournament, because I was pushing for Bill at the time to do a tag team tournament, like a Super 8,
yeah.
And, you know, and I thought, nobody's doing a fucking tag team tournament. And we
nope.
had so many great tag teams, you know, TNT, Lost Boys, you know, Tank and White Trash, which also became Tank and Scotty Wren.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Blackout.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and the Raids, like you said. And then, I mean, so I pushed for Bill to, you know, do a tag team tournament. And we worked with the Briscoes, came down a few times. And we worked a program with them, and we, you know, we already worked with the Lost Boys in a program. We brought the Briscoes in and the SATs into it, and everything. And it was really cool to, you know, because I love tag team wrestling, and it's still one of the lost arts around,
yeah.
You know, and now even more so because, you know, a lot of people's idea of tag team wrestling is a lot of cool quadruple or triple spots, and they miss out on what the real, you know, concept of tag team wrestling is. And it's funny when you mention all that with the Lost Boys, the Briscoes, the SATs, and TNT, I was the lone psychological voice in all that. And I'm not saying that to put myself over. You can ask any of those guys. Like some of the stuff the Briscoes do now, they learned from me because, like, Jay would want to do, oh, I'll give you the, you know, we take heat on Jay. He wants to give a face buster, and they pick me up again and give me a DVD, then sell, then make the hot tag. And I'm like, all right, if you already give me one, why don't you just give me one to make the hot tag? And he's like, well, it's my thing to do two. So I was like, all right, I'll take the Facebuster. I'll feed right up into you, and you give me the DVD, sell, then make the tag. And there's a, and it's funny because you can, honestly, that and other things you can go see in matches. And Tony would get mad because Tony was wanting to impress these guys from up north and
right.
let them do their thing. And Tony, you know, Tony is one of the best athletes.
He's so phenomenal.
Even if you've seen what he does, there's so much more. And he's a guy who got screwed, who should have been a star in WWE. And if they would have let him try out as a heel down in developmental, they would have been blown away.
Agreed.
But Tony would get so hot because he'd be like, don't tell him, don't criticize him. I was like, you know, this is our work here too, you know, I mean. And we slow the Briscoes down, we slow the SATs down, you know, as far as working a match, not necessarily just Southern style as they probably looked at it, but as far as making it make more sense, and then they could shine doing their crazy high spots.
After, the, of course, Tony and you guys split up, you started teaming with Masada. How was that? Like, I mean, just, you know, you just look at Masada on paper, and you're just like, a lot of people think he's just a garbage worker. We all know that he's
not.
Yeah. Masada's fucking phenomenal. And how was that for you guys? And, of course, you guys have the greatest tag team finisher of all time. I'm sorry, Murder One's going to fucking beat my fucking ass for saying this, but I'm sorry, your guys' fucking tag finisher is the greatest of all time. So how did you guys get together as a tag team? Whose idea was it, and how much of a difference was it with you and Tony?
Well, totally different, because me and Tony lived together at the time. You know,
right.
It was me and Tony had an apartment together, and we've been with each other since Texas. So we, you know, we'd get on each other's nerves. So Masada, I would just see at the shows because he was living in Texas.
Right.
So it was a different thing as far as, you know, as far as the relationship with the tag team, although me and Masada were good friends, and I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, but, you know, I'll say nothing but good things about Masada, and I think he's very underrated. And it's cool that the last year or so, he started finally getting some notoriety on the indies, which was long overdue.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it's for his garbage work. And I don't want to say garbage to demean anything, but, you know, as far as the hardcore stuff, but
yeah.
He's actually a very good worker. And one difference is that with me and Tony, a lot of times it was a battle as far as laying stuff out. And I, you know, that's it. This is how we're going to do it and everything. And Tony wanted to make things always a little flashier. And it didn't necessarily make sense, especially if we were working heels, it didn't make sense. Whereas Masada would stand by everything I said and take it as gospel. Like, I can tell you a story about we went up to IWA Mid-South when we were working singles matches. He was working Danny Daniels, who a lot of people did not enjoy working. It can be very difficult, and they were arguing over something, and Masada goes, we're going to go ask Todd, and he brought Danny over there to me, and they laid out what they wanted to do, and I gave my opinion on him, so I was like, fine, that's what we're going to do. And, like, Masada would go to hell with me if I needed him to, even though I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, and I got nothing but good things to say about him. And he is a total badass. What you see is what you get.
Oh, yeah,
What he says, if he's also probably his own worst enemy because he will say what is on his mind and not think of a filter on it and just tell you exactly what he feels. I mean, I don't care if it's saying something to Maven backstage at WWE after you worked him in a heat match. He will say what's on his mind, which I love him for, but I've just probably held him back a little bit.
Right. Now, of course, from there, you know, Anarchy, while Bill gets the developmental deal, Wildside starts fading away a little bit in terms of the Anarchy. What is the main difference that you see between the two promotions? Because a lot of people don't realize there is a – I mean, maybe like the casual fan doesn't see it, but I know you do from being there. What's the main difference between the two companies?
As you mean as far as main difference, you mean from when Anarchy started up?
Yeah, like the whole – yeah, basically when it started up, because I know it was a huge transition because, you know, there's the whole thing with me and Al Getz that fucking, you know, put things back, and then thank God for Jerry Palmer, but, you know.
Well, you know, it was along the lines of, you know, Bill had the credibility of stars and opening doors for people and having the connections. So people would, you know, fucking Delirious – and Matt Sydal / Evan Bourne would come drive from St. Louis,
right,
just to work, and with no, you know, with little money, and the
right.
whole crew was working for little money, and that's just the nature of the independent wrestling scene. And but then when Bill's gone without that credibility and people wanting to learn from Bill, and it becomes Al Getz and no offense to Rick, but you know, you don't have that same guys making the sacrifice for the opportunity, because the opportunity is not necessarily there. You know, and everything was a little, like, I know the first show I was scheduled to work Ray Gordy.
And I think Ray no-showers, or he just didn't come back?
He didn't no-show. Nobody fucking told him he was
booked. What it was. Because I remember that was actually, I remember that because that was when Rick and I got into our first little tiff. I was like, where's Ray at? And Rick goes, I don't know. And I was like, it's like you and fucking Al.
I'm the one who called him.
Oh, you ended up calling him? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I ended up calling him. Yeah, then Rick's like, oh, I was like, well, I'll call him. I was like, Ray, I didn't know it was a fucking show. Because I could see going into it. Because I was like, okay, we need to do this.
Yeah, there's so many communication issues. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It was just sort of like, because, you know, point, you know, Bill and Rick got into probably the same mind frame to assume that everybody was going to be there every other week.
Right.
Like they were for Bill. When, you know, they took about a month off, I guess, before they debuted the Anarchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it just didn't, you know, because it was like I was saying, it's just another booking now. It's not like a big deal. So
yeah.
You got to sort of treat it as such and figure out what you're doing here.
Yeah, it was definitely, and that's like, from my perspective, it was very chaotic. You know, I didn't get called until, like, you know, the night before a show to say, hey, you need to pick up concessions. It's like, well, fuck. I mean, why couldn't someone tell me like a week ago? You know, it's just like little things like that. It was like, holy shit, you know.
And then
Al Getz is like, you know, fucking, I like Al, but boy, was he horrible at talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, yeah, Al, I like Al. You know, I do, but he was not a people person. And I would always, because I was sort of becoming the agent guy at that point, you know, and trying to help out and stuff, because my ex-wife was pregnant. So I was looking at not going on the road at that point, because before, you know, I was trying to do Ring of Honor and CZW and get my name out there. But at that point, you know, I didn't want to be like a lot of some other guys and be on the road when my son's growing up. That became my focus, is I want to be at home. So I started focusing on Anarchy as far as being the agent, help out Al with the booking, but I was sort of the follow-up guy where I would piss somebody off. I'd have to go talk to him.
Right.
And, you know, calm down and stuff and everything. So, yeah, did not work too well at that point.
Yeah, and so you eventually take the book. Gary Palmer gets in. I guess you took the book when, like, early 06 maybe or late 05?
Fright Night of the first year of Anarchy, because Al quit.
Yeah.
The week before Fright Night, Jerry called Bill to ask Bill for advice. Bill suggested me, and then Jerry went with me, and then I did Fright Night, and then the next show, Bill came in to work with me, and so that's pretty much where it began from there. So it was the first year of Anarchy, so it was only a few months. Al only did it a few months from the beginning to October.
Because I remember, because, you know, some stuff happened backstage. Al took over, then Jerry bought it, and then
Jerry bought it when it became Anarchy.
Well,
Anarchy
he didn't originally, because I was actually, I mean, he was about to buy it, because that was the whole thing. It was like, he was going to buy it, and me and him and Rick were going to run it. That was the original plan. And, you know, we were putting together our team, which, you know, you were on the team. I remember your name was mentioned a lot. Berg's name was mentioned a lot. Murder's name was mentioned a lot. And that was going to be like kind of like the team. And then, of course, somehow Al Getz gets thrown in the team, which was, you know, fine with me at first until, you know, some stuff happened. And, you know, then I guess now Al was just purely booking on his own after some of the backstage stuff happened, correct?
Yeah, well, I think when it started, it was Al and Rick, and then Rick had his issue before he left, but I think it was more Al and Rick. And then,
Because Rick was working for WWE and was just so fucking busy. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, how busy he was, so.
Yeah, he was doing the you know, the gimmicks and stuff for WWE, so he wasn't really there. And Al just sort of took over, and I was helping out, becoming, like, I don't know, the lead agent or whatever, and, you know, Al was bouncing ideas off of me and stuff, but Al was also, you know, in his own way, and I could read Al pretty good, because, like, I did a program with Chad. I was like, I want to work with Chad, and I could tell he was throwing me a bone by letting me do it.
Right.
Because, but I remember I booked Rudy and his guys in, and Al was like pissed off that, oh, well, you should have ran it by me and stuff. And, of course, one of the guys Rudy brought with him was Milano Collection AT.
Who's pretty
you know,
big star internationally. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. And he came out there and tore the house down, and I was like, thank you, I'm sorry that I doubted you and stuff. And I was like, you know, I mean, I have an idea, you know, what I'm doing. And Rudy always brings great talent because they're trained by him, and he, in my opinion, is the best trainer in the business.
Right.
But and Milano Collection, you know, was got hooked up with him, so it was like, we need to use this opportunity. Like, I got Tony Mamaluke in just based on my friendship with him.
Right.
So I was cashing in sort of my chips to try to help Anarchy, even though I wasn't booking yet.
And then, you know, it started to grow, and, you know, you're now at the helm, and 2006 is probably one of the best years on record for the finances of that building and that company. How big was Phil Shatter in getting, you know, that increase in revenue? Because I think he came on early 06 or maybe like mid 06. Is that correct?
Shatter?
Yeah. Who's not known as Gunner for the people that don't
Gunner,
know.
Gunner, yeah, for people that don't know. I'm terrible with dates. I will tell you, the first show we did in Helen, which was the biggest show we did at that point, where we had a surprise spot with AJ, and we had Abyss on the show. That's when I met Shatter, and he came with Truid. Jerry
introduced
me to him. Jerry would go to the Carolina shows, and he'd always come back with talent. And one of them was also Austin. Creed, who is now what's Austin's
name?
He's
now Xavier Woods, yeah. Xavier Woods.
Thank you, yeah. And so Jerry was good at scouting talent.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting them at Fright Night at the Georgia Theater in Athens show. So I know that was then, and then we brought him as a tag team and stuff. And, you know, we got paid good. Jerry always made a point to take care of everybody when he had money. He was, probably more than he should have been when it came to paying the boys and paying myself, too. Because he took care of me very well. But me and Jerry, you know, if you want to get the comparison later, as far as Jerry versus Franklin, you know, me and Jerry were friends.
Right.
I mean, I was, you know, we'd go out to the bar, and, you know, and he'd top it off as a business expense and stuff. And, you know, I haven't talked to Jerry in a little while. He came by at Seasons Beatings and stuff, and I talked to him a couple weeks before then. But, you know, he's somebody I consider a friend, and we were friends. I mean, we had our, you know, disagreements, as you will, in that kind of environment and stuff. But, you know, I mean, it was pretty nice. You know, it was cool to have that, and it was like, okay, I'm doing it right. And all these years of sacrificing for the business and all the money I spent on getting all these videos over from my youth up till now, it's paid off. All the, you know, it's like, you know, all the studying the business, which I take pride in, that I do, and it's paid off. You know, it was nice to see that, whether it was Chad Parham's title reign, the Devil's Rejects feud,
and any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole Reject storyline, that was a tipping point, and you know, I mean, even I saw it, I was like, when you guys started doing it, and you know, we were, you know, the two companies were still on good footing, and I remember we went up to Saudi Daisy, I think, for something, and we were talking to Drag, and he kind of laid it out for us, and I looked at Murder on the way back, and I was like, they're going to fuck us over, man. We got to fucking get some more talent. Like, it was like, we knew that Reject thing was going to be fucking huge, because you're taking, you know, I think you guys ended up doing the Rejects versus fucking the Elite in the War Games, like in the next year, and it's like, Jesus Christ, you got Bailey and Wilson fucking selling this thing. That's wrestling, you know. That's what a lot of these guys don't get, and that's where, like, I think, you know, you guys win the award this year, but I've always said I think you guys should have won for 06 and 07 because the shit you guys were doing was some of the best wrestling in the States in years.
That's the cool thing is about as far as being a booker, it's like we had the Rejects versus Jerry versus Team Anarchy with guys like, you know, the Urban Assault Squad, Slim Jim and Ace. You know, guys like that. But then I always knew, and I actually had to talk Bill into this because it wasn't something we usually did, is that I always knew we could have the Elite versus the Rejects.
Yep.
Like, the Rejects weren't done after Anarchy won. The Elite versus the Rejects, you know, heel versus heel, which is, you know, something everybody, you know, most people don't want to deal with because it's, you know, it's different. It's not what we usually do. But I knew we'd have that to do. And I knew Bailey and Jeff both wanted to do it, you know. And Bill was and forth with it at first, and then he, you know, supported me on it, and, you know, it turned out to be great stuff, because it would
yeah.
be. I mean, this was like, you know, the two, you know, master evil minds, like the Joker versus Lex Luthor, having
yes.
to fucking fight each other.
So, you booked so many great things. You booked for so many years. How do you handle the burnout of booking? Because everyone gets it. I mean, you see
I left.
It. You did leave. Okay, so how long did you take off? Because I didn't even realize that you had
see,
like left.
Yeah, I did. Well, I mean, I took off. Oh, I can't remember the. Like I said, I'm terrible with the years. I mean, I took
That's
off,
cool.
and then Dan took over, and I was a talent. I was there, you know, working. I worked the angle with Slim J.
Right.
We did the MMA match gimmick, which I'm very proud of because it was over huge on the match where it was, you know, you figured these fans wouldn't understand what we were doing, but they did. And then I did the Young Lions gimmick where I was the old bitter guy, you know, shitting on the new guys, which I enjoyed.
Right.
That was my, as far as characters goes, as a heel character, that was my favorite just because I was such a belligerent, surly dick about all these young kids and stuff trying to take my spot as I saw it. And then Dan went down as booker, and I booked for a few months with Bill, but I told, you know, it's still the time I wasn't ready to book.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I told Jerry that you need to find somebody else, and that it's going to be, I think, Berg and Greg Hunter ended up doing a run, and then, but they didn't get along with Bill, I think, and then it's just sort of that sort of, not to diss either one of those guys. And I think Berg was only in for a little bit. I don't think wanted to do it very long because I don't think he only did it for a little bit, and then it just went through like a period where I'm not even sure who was booking, but I know it did not go that well. I think because I stepped away. When I stepped away, I stepped away.
Right.
I mean, I did because I just had over 10 years of being around it. I just needed to step away, and I did. I remember me and my wife went to a show. I was like, let's just go up to a show and watch it and stuff. And I remember watching most of it from the crowd. I was just like, man, this is not – it's just not flowing. You know, it's just not gelling. And I went backstage and talked to Judas for a good bit and stuff. And because I always kept in touch with Judas and asked him how the shows were going and everything. And then it just didn't happen until, you know, I just stayed away. I'd come back occasionally, do a match here or there just to scratch my itch.
Yeah.
And until Bill Franklin took over, and then Bill got it, and then a few months after that, Bill called me, and then we, you know, asked me back. But I stepped away. I mean, I was burnt out.
Sorry.
I did step away. I talked to Bill, and I talked to Jerry, and I was just like, you know, I need to, you know. And I feel great. You know, it always made me feel good because both of them were like, all right, we need to get you back in the ring. So I was like, okay, good. They still want me around, and. they still think I'm a viable talent that can provide something.
Right. So why did you retire from wrestling? I mean, I know you still semi-wrestle, but why did you kind of like dial it back from a wrestling standpoint for, you know, when you were booking? Did you just not want to be that guy that's booking and wrestling?
Yeah. I mean, it was a point where when I first took over the booking, I set up the thing with Michael Adrian at the time where I, you know, title versus career. He beat me so I could focus on the booking.
But right.
It was, you know, totally new for me as far as having it, so I needed to focus on it. You know, it's hard at the shows to go through everything when you got to worry about your match.
Right.
And then I'd come back, like the next run I did, I did the thing as a heel with Ace, where I got comfortable with it, where I could come back. Because it was also like, hey, we had these crowds now. All this work I put in, I want to enjoy this too.
Yeah, right.
I want to get out and wrestle in front of all these crowds. You know, this is, you know, work paying off. I want to get out there. And then it was just going back, you know, because I didn't want to focus too much. You know, I didn't want to continually put myself in a good spot. But at the same time, you know, if I came back, I wanted to do something that I enjoyed if I was going to be working. And I just go, you know, and I pick and choose my spot. Like, you know, let's say Terry Funk, he knew to come in and run for a few months and then leave.
Right.
So it's like, you know, that way I don't wear out my welcome. And then I can come back fresh. You know, it's not in the days you go to territory to territory,
yeah.
You know, but and just I can do, and then I see some, oh, this would be fun to do this. You know, it's always something as far as keeping my interest in something. Like I did the thing where I came back with Adrian and did a little angle with him, but that was to do a match with Jimmy Rave and Sal, my two best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that. But then the next show we had Walters, who just got back from Europe, and I was like, ooh, he just got back from England. I love that style. This is
right.
So I'm going to do this. You know, me and Walters have our, you know, our wrestling matches that we really much do for our own entertainment because the crowd's sort of like, we don't understand what's going on, but we enjoy it. So
right. And that's one of the things is like, you know, you were doing the technician gimmick for quite some time, and you were really one of the first guys on the indie level. I mean, I know Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson or Dragon or whatever you want to call him was kind of doing it on Ring of Honor. I know Nigel was doing it and Chris Hero were doing it on that national broad smart mark independent level. But in Georgia, there was really nobody doing it but you. How did you feel about that? Like, you know, because in Georgia – you know, it's pretty cut and dry. Blood, fist, kicks, and
yeah.
Eye gouging gets over and not a nice, well-timed hammerlock reversal. So how did you deal with that as a worker and as also a booker? Because I know a lot of guys after, you know, you started doing it, started saying, oh, this is a cool style. You know, we want to incorporate that. So how do you make it work for Cornelia?
Real quick, I just want to point out to my wife, he just put over all my technician stuff. Yeah. I just want to point that out. I wish you guys should put them on speaker so you could hear that diatribe because that makes me feel good. That is the style I love. I mean, it is, and I know it doesn't get over, but I can sometimes, like, it's education. You educate the people on the first tap out, the tap, tap, tap chant we ever got in the arena was me and Jeremy Vane, or it was Jeremy V at the time where I beat him for the TV title, where I put him in a crossface. And I love that, and I think you educate the people, they will get to it. And it just takes some time. I mean, sometimes it is, you know, a lot of guys are trained to listen to the crowd, do what
right.
The crowd likes. At the same time, I think the next level up from that as far as being a worker goes, and I've talked to AJ about this and other guys about this, is that you make the crowd come to you.
Right.
You know, they don't understand. Like, the last time me and Walters worked, when we did the impromptu match at Fright Night, and we were wrestling. There was, like, one or two people going, oh, it's boring. And then boom, boom, off the ropes, I drop kick Walters in the face, the crowd explodes.
Right.
It's like,
and that's
you know,
how it should be. That's how it should
yeah.
be.
You don't control us, we control you. And that's the thing. Is, oh, the crowd's not buying this.
Yep.
We got to do something real quick.
Yep.
No,
Johnny Valentine.
Take your time. Yeah, hey, thank you, Johnny Valentine. You make the crowd wait for it. You make them, you know, then they come to you, and then you're in control. It's not a, you know, it's not a puppet show. They don't get it, you know, you can't treat it like, oh, you know, guys freak out. The crowd's not responding. It's like, wait for it. They'll come to you if you're doing your job right. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that challenge. I enjoyed doing that style that the crowd doesn't necessarily want to see, but they will get into if they open themselves up for it.
Right. Well, this interview's getting long, so I could keep going if you want me to, but I know you probably got other things to do, and
no,
we can always say.
Do you want to talk
Jonathan, that's up to you,
because,
you know, I at least have two other questions if Jonathan wants to pipe in or anything, but.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say a moment ago when you were talking about basically balancing the job of being a wrestler and a booker. That's one of the things that is, I guess, one of the more refreshing things about what you do. You're still prominent on the shows, but you're not booking yourself in title matches and main events all the time and stuff like that. And it seems like that goes back to the beginning of the show, really, with some of the shit shows that Josh was criticizing and stuff like that. And Danny only said a lot about that, and you know, a lot of people talk about that. But I imagine it might be kind of difficult, or I'm guessing that it's tempting to want to put yourself over a lot, but
oh,
it's
yeah,
good to see that.
Definitely.
It's good
as
to see
you
that.
You know, it's easy to want that. Thank you.
But, yeah. I mean, it definitely,
I will say, yeah.
Obviously it helps the show a lot because you see people like Judas and Jeter and the value they have in a main event picture, or even like the Young Lions guys and stuff like that.
Well, thank you,
so,
and yeah, that is true because it is tempting. You like, I want to prove I can be a top guy. I want
right.
to, you know, everybody wants to be the fucking champion. I mean,
right.
you know, my friends who aren't in the business are like, why don't you just make yourself champion? That's what I do. It's like, well, you know, you don't want to explain to them, but it's like everybody wants to be that guy. But you're trying to do what's best for business.
Right.
I mean, you want to do what's best, and you know, what I'm doing is not working, I'm not going to do it. And one good thing I will say about me to put myself over is I know my weaknesses. I know you know, I'm not one of these guys like, oh, if only, you know, fucking Vince would see me, he'd fucking give me a job. You know, if I, you know, I mean, I know what, you know, what I don't have and lack, but I know what my strengths are. So I keep myself in the positions where it brings out the strength. Ironically, the times I get over is when doing these personal feuds, whether it be with Bo and my brother last year and with Rachel now with BJ and Joey and stuff. And I'm over a lot more doing that shit and doing that schnick than doing fucking technical wrestling. But, you know, you do what works and you do what you have fun with, too.
Now, you know, and I hate to bring this up, but at Anarchy there are some financial constraints, and you don't really have the budget that some of the other bigger promotions nationally do have. Even though Anarchy's got the name value to an extent, you guys can't just fucking fly in a Chris Hero and say, okay, Chris, you're gonna do an angle with fucking, you know, Judas. You just can't do it. Do you wish you could do that, and how do you overcome those financial restraints at times when there are a lot of talented guys that would love to work in that building on a long-term basis that, you know, it's just kind of out of the budget?
Well, I mean, that's the, you know, when everybody comes in, they know what's being offered.
Right.
You know, when people get in contact with Bill, because Bill's the contact guy, because we established that a while ago when I was a booker, because I got tired of being on my phone all the time. So I put Bill as the spot man, and Bill's good at dealing with the talent because he's the old guy. So everybody respects the old guy. And everybody knows what they're getting when they come in. So they know what's there. I mean, and it's also a case that makes us better because we got to make the most of what we got.
Right.
I'll say this, and I don't know if we just added today a women's match to the show this weekend. The women's
really?
Match is coming.
In Cornelia?
Yeah, I know, right? But that's not the high spot of it. The best part, and what I'm fucking thrilled about, and I'm so excited about, is they're coming, and coming with them is Dory Funk Jr. They're two of his students.
Oh,
so
you know I love Dory.
Oh, God, I'm a huge Dory mark. And I'm pissed off that I just shot the angle where I got taken out with a getting Spike Paldrow, where I'm taking off a while, because I would love, and I'm mad I'm not a heel, because as a heel, I'd love to run in and take some fucking uppercuts and the spinning toe hold. But we are going to have Dory Funk. You know, we get lucky. Matt Striker,
right.
The lucky thing. AJ, of course, with his connections with Bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Gunner with his history. And, you know, even if Austin could, I know Austin would come back. You know, I mean, we get lucky with guys. Like Tony Mamaluke came just for his love of the business and his love of the building and his friendship with me and Bill. You know, we get lucky.
Right. And that's the thing, like, there's so many, I mean, you know, you could run down, I mean, and even if they don't meet a WWE level, and I hate to put over Steve Platinum, but he made the analogy a few months ago about Anarchy sounding like the SNL, and I laughed at it at first. I scoffed at it. I said, what, this guy's delusional. But now looking back at it, it's like, holy shit, you guys are fucking starting out live. Maybe not everybody's Andy Samberg or Jimmy Fallon, but, I mean,
yeah.
You know, Chavis, Murder One, Onyx. I mean, they all go on to – and those are just a few. Caprice Coleman, Xavier Woods, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
AJ, Shatter / Gunner. Ace Rockwell, to an extent, almost went on a bigger thing. Sal Renaro is a former Ring of Honor tag champion. These guys go on to bigger, better things.
Jimmy Rave. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jimmy
so
Rave.
Many, yeah.
Now, and I know that you worked for Ring of Honor for a little bit. You did, like, some you know, undercard shows, and you did some double shots, and you know, you mentioned earlier that you had the family, but did you ever kind of get, like, not upset, but did you say Tony went to WWE developmental, Masada's all over the place, all these other guys are all over the place, did you ever say, man, why can't that be me, or were you happy in Cornelia, Georgia, nursing your new baby and Anarchy Wrestling at the same time?
Yeah, I was happy with that at that point. I was. I mean, okay. Before then, yeah. With Tony, it wasn't because I knew what, like I said, I knew what I had to offer, and I know Tony was a great promo. Tony's a hell of an athlete. If he just listened and learned, which he did, he would, you know, be awesome. You know,
right.
And I knew, you know, Brigham had the size. Brigham is Masada. Masada had the size, and the, you know, and they both had, you know, certain aspects of charisma that I didn't have. I was aware that Jimmy Rave, my best friend, was getting these shots. You know, he's working with CM Punk in Chicago in a cage match.
Right.
You know, and I could be jealous about that. I wasn't. He'd send me his stuff for me to watch so I could give him pointers. So, I mean, the guys that count, it's always a case of, like, for instance, we had Matt Striker at the season's beat. We did a seminar. The stuff he was teaching them was the same stuff me and Bill have been teaching. And
right.
Great. And when we had Terry Taylor there, and AJ and Terry was there all the time, and we had AJ there for a seminar and for stuff. It's great to hear the guys that have made their national name say the same things that me and Bill are saying, because it shows that the guys that, hey, me and Bill aren't full of our own shit. You know, we know what we're talking about. And, you know, at one point, yeah, would have made, you know, I was like, man, you know, because when you're hungry, you're hungry. You're doing every booking you can. You're doing every shot you can. You want to get on every show, and it doesn't matter what you're missing, birthdays, anniversaries, whatever. You want,
right.
You're so hungry. You're making that drive to fucking IWA Mid-South for a shot, the fucking Sweet 16 tournament, or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what you did. And but when, you know, when I had my son, and I, you know, I'm probably different than a lot of guys, and that became
a lot different.
And then also I had the opportunity to start, you know, it coincided with, you know, Anarchy starting from the ground up. I was like, okay, I'd like to get involved in this to try to start something from the ground up. And my ideas were not being listened to for the majority on OWL. So, but then it turned out I ended up getting the booking job. And I was like, this is fucking fulfilling. And then when
right.
I saw it paying off with the crowds get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you talk about how, you know, a lot of young guys, it's funny because on this next show we're doing, we have a lot of guys that are coming in for the first time that want to come for little or no money to learn, because we do, you know, progress talent. You have
yes.
Bill, who's there for the personality of it and the presentation of the character. And you have me there, you know, to put myself over for the technical aspect, the wrestling aspect. I can, you know, and I tell people too, you know, what may be the right thing to do in the ring is not necessarily the thing the WWE wants you to do, or the TNA or Ring of Honor. You know, and try to give them, you know, it's a different, every company is different from what they want. And I'll say, for here, you do this. If you're going here, you do this. You know, and that's one thing I like to do is pay attention to the different styles and psychologies that the different promotions want to do. And so it's good to tell the guys, you know, you're working the hard camera, you're doing this and that. And that's what we get. I mean, it's crazy that so many people have contacted Bill at the, I don't know if it's because of the, along with the award, the great hype we had after season's beatings and whatnot. And the last show we did, we still drew, you know, $1.50 on people, which was a lot better than I thought, because coming after the big show, it's usually a huge drop, because, you know,
right.
like that with any wrestling show, after you do the big show, is a big drop, but we still had a great crowd. So we have some momentum going, and the guys want to come learn, and it's, you know, and that's the key, is like if they're young and hungry and they want to just come to learn. And then you have guys that are all like, tell Bill, and I've, you know, told Bill this, because one good thing about me that Bill can't do, I can think like a worker.
Right.
Guys are like, yeah, we want to come in and learn. Okay, when it comes down to it, to make the long drive from Florida up there, and I told Bill, I said, you guys are going to crap out. Watch them. And sure enough, they do, because some guy, you can tell which guys want to do it, which guys don't. Guys that want to make the long drive to perform and learn and, you know, do perfect their craft, and other guys just want to, oh, it sounded like a good idea at the time, but that's a long drive for little or no money.
But it's an education. It's kind of like what I was telling Tyson earlier in the show. You go to Cornelia for an education. You pay to go to a university and to learn a trade or whatever. Anarchy Wrestling has become the place where you go to fucking learn. I mean, like we said earlier, I mean, the list is ungodly and huge. And now, you know, I could probably ask you a million more questions. I'm going to ask one last question. Todd Sexton, a booker, a great booker, a terrific booker on a small level. Would you like to try a bigger company one day?
I couldn't do what the WWE wants to do.
Nah, fuck them. I don't care about them. I'm going to like
TNA
Ring of Honor.
WWE's
not goddamn wrestling. We don't talk about them.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, you know, TNA still for what they're, you know, maybe, but what they're trying to present is obviously so deep in what you're trying to do to make Dixie happy and to and not necessarily just make Dixie happy, but also try to get the talent that is cost efficient. That's
right.
The talent you're trying to get over, which is understandable. If that's what you're trying, you know, that is understandable. Like, and they've done a great job with the Ethan Carter character, making him into a star, so to speak, on that level. because the way he's been presented.
Well, I don't want to bring up bad booking. They were doing a great job. They fucked it up on Thursday, and there's a reason they don't enter 300 people in Albany. They keep fucking up. I'm tired of that company.
Yeah.
I need a guy like you who's never had Vince's handprint on him to go in there and fix shit. This is what we need.
That's the problem is that, you know, they want to do what they, you know, that's the problem with coming out from the New York. I'm sounding like an old guy from the 80s coming out of the New York mindset is that
right.
It is their mindset, and they think that's right because that's what Vince did. You don't understand, and Tom Pritchard and Terry Taylor have told me both this. There is different kinds of ice cream. There's chocolate,
yes.
Vanilla, strawberry. This is vanilla, or this is strawberry. This is what Vince wants.
Right.
So that's what you give him. And, you know, and that's what they bring down to TNA, which in turn makes it into a B-level product of WWE.
Yep.
If with that, maybe, yes, if I would like to do that, I mean, of course, if the money was right, I could support my fan. But, yeah, and, you know, and having new adventures as far as new talent to work with and trying to get it over on a national stage, which is a totally different thing from, you know, a local stage.
Right.
You're appealing to an audience that you know inside one building and then audience that you all over the something to tune into. I mean, that's a whole different beast. You know, a guy who would get over like $1 million, Billy Buck, in our building would not get over on a national stage because people, you know, and, or at least people inside the company, if you're this guy, he's got great down-home charisma, but then to try to present that on a national, stupid.
Right, but
yeah.
And, you know, you could take some of the things you did with Billy Buck and maybe give that to James Storm, and then you got a national star.
Exactly. There you go.
So,
I mean, this is a character could work. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're always going to have to fight because, you know, they see the one-dimensional guys that need to work, and it's always hilarious to see it like that because if to bring back the Dory Funk Jr. or Harley Race or Dusty Rhodes, these guys have never gotten their fucking foot in the door based on appearances.
Right.
You know? But, you know, there is that connection people can get. You know, Daniel Bryan being a great example is a short guy, and they buried him like hell even when they're giving him the push just to be dicks about it. But he's still fucking over, so fucking deal with it. Push him.
And it's something that I've always said. Like, sadly, like, imagine if Michael P.S. Hayes was working today in Philadelphia, the crowd would shit all over him. You know, they chant, "You can't work," and it's like, this is Michael fucking Hayes, you know. But, yeah, it's a different audience. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, well, Michael Hayes actually would probably get over as a comedy character. He'd get over as a cult item. Oh, he dances. He's funny. He's got the fucking hair.
Right, but he's not funny. That's all.
But he won't be. But they wouldn't put him in a fucking money draw position.
Right,
they wouldn't
exactly.
Put him in that position where he can cut those fucking great promos and hit you with that stiff left hand.
That's right.
And but yeah, you know, national wrestling now is just so crazy when you think about it. As far as what would work now, as opposed to what worked when we all grew up with, or what we all enjoyed watching.
And that's where a lot of my bitterness comes from because, you know, and I think I've actually said on this show, I know I said on other shows, is the NFL does pro wrestling better than pro wrestling. UFC does pro wrestling better than pro wrestling.
Yes.
There's a lot of good indie shows that are doing pro wrestling better than pro wrestling, you know, that's being presented. It's just – I just wish you could get out there. And I do, like – you know, I was a huge critic of you guys back in fucking, like, April because I thought – and I'll say this. I thought you guys were paying too much attention to that shit show down the street from you guys. And I'm glad
some
you guys stopped paying attention. I'm glad
yeah,
you stopped
were.
Paying attention to that and just started fucking doing your shit because good wrestling will shut shit down. That's the lesson for tonight's show. Jonathan, I'm finally finished.
Well, here, real quick on that shit show, I didn't ever, you know, I
know you didn't. I know you didn't. So
no, I'm in my own little hole. I don't know what's going outside of Cornelia just because that's just the way I am. I know what's going on with the business overall. You know, I keep on tabs on everything just because I like to take different aspects and bring it to the company as far as booking. But as far as, like, other indie stuff, I really, unless it's in the fucking Observer, I don't know anything about it.
Right.
And, you know, I heard everybody's bringing out the show. I was like, who gives, I mean, what are the fucking odds? There's two fucking shows in Cornelia, A. Because who would the fuck think that would be, you know, hey, let's do another show in Cornelia. I mean, what the fuck? It's a fucking 300 people in this fucking town.
Right.
But, I mean, I knew I wasn't worried about it. I mean, we had a fucking product. We had talent. We have, you know, we were professionals here. You know, I mean, it's what it is. And, you know, then half those guys end up trying to, you know, come work for us. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, that's what they want to be because we're the next step up. But we're actually probably four steps up from them. Not that I've never seen the show, so I don't know.
I've seen photos. It's awful.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I didn't understand why so much attention was being drawn to that. It seemed like the best way to handle it would be just to let it go and do your thing. And if they do somehow end up being a better show, so be it. But that wasn't going to happen, and everybody knew that.
Well, I told the guys is that I always tell the guys too, if we have a bad house, you know, and which we had a few this year, it's like we may not have the most successful show, but we'll have the best show.
Right.
So go out, you know, I mean, we'll go out there and everybody will fucking work their asses. We will pay it, you know, I mean, we'll make everything make sense. We'll try to make everything work as best we can. For instance, this last show, the fucking first show after you give us Booker of the Year, of course, half the show is not there. We got three or four guys down with the flu. Another guy can't. I mean, if you saw the list of guys that were not going to be at the show versus the show, it was like a whole other card. But you know what? We fucking, you know, I was like, frankly, you're going to earn that tonight. And, you know, we did. We had a great show. We had the fucking street fight that I was involved in. We had the tag team title match with Slim and Iceberg. I mean, we had a great show. So, I mean, and those are sometimes the fun shows when everything falls apart on you. Because then
yep.
You got to make it work, and you got to give the fans something that, you know, hey, we're sorry this happened, but we're going to give you this. Sort of the Paul Heyman philosophy when he was booking ECW. If there was a no-show, he would go out of his way to present something big
yep.
to people like. But I digress.
Well, since we're kind of wrapping things up, you got a show this Saturday. What's the big match there? What are you doing there? What should we expect from this show?
Well, I won't be doing anything. I got dropped in my head last show, so I probably will not be around for a little bit.
The big match is Jeter and Bird, right?
Yeah, it's not even for a title, but it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be. It's the first time ever between Jeter and Bird. You want to talk about, you know, a battle of, I don't want to say old school versus new school, because Bird is very much still relevant and can very much still go. It's going to be very, you know, it's cool because, you know, Jeter looks up to Bird because he was sort of the first guy like that in the building, not just a big fat guy, but a guy who could fucking go, you know,
yep.
a guy who, you know, who do it. And Jeter is like the next evolution of Iceberg. So it's good. That's going to be badass. And we also got the Washington Bullets against Stephen Walters and Ace Rockwell, which could be very well a show stealer. And then we got Sean Tempers going after the Young Lions title. Insert your joke there against.
I was thinking that in my brain. I was like, he's my age. Come on.
Yeah, well, it's going somewhere. So just give it.
Okay, just check it.
Yeah. It's not just us going. Okay, we need to come up with something on that. But and then we're gonna have all, you know, Judas will be there, Seven will be there, and of course I say this now, but it's still very much a few days away, and usually it's the day of the show when half the locker room ends up canceling. So. We're just, you know, there's always sorts of surprises. And like I said, if anything, fucking Dory Funk Jr. is going to be there. So how badass is that? So if anything, we get that. And a women's match, no less, which happens once every 2 years at the building.
Yep.
Well, Josh, I'm surprised you didn't ask the question you've been asking a lot lately about if Anarchy's up for sale again.
I figured you were going to ask it, but you know, I've had some clarification on the rumors, and I like that answer, so I didn't really want to bother Todd with it, but if you want to ask it, we can go ahead.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you're the one. I hadn't heard about it until you mentioned it, so.
I've heard it from a few sources. They're reliable to an extent, but there was a rumor that Franklin was trying to sell. Is that a fact?
Not to my knowledge at this point.
Yeah, see, nobody involved with Anarchy's heard it. It's all people outside of Anarchy's heard it.
Yeah, I mean, if some guy walked in with thousands of dollars wanting to
God,
buy
I wish
it,
I had
say,
it.
Yeah.
I'd buy it in a heartbeat.
You know, I would too. If I won the lottery, I'd buy it. And then
I put
the fucking belt on myself. But, no, not at this point. No, that is not the case, as far as I know. But like I said, when it comes to some things, it goes to Franklin, to Bill, and then maybe down to me. I just sort of stick with the boys as far as my responsibilities go. As far as I know at this point, no.
Yeah, and I think it's some more clarification from some more people involved with Anarchy, but there has been the rumor of guys outside of Anarchy that said that he was trying to sell it, so.
I mean, and that may have been the case at one point, but I think, you know, as far as anybody involved with, like, just the last two shows we've done, it's hard to try to sell that.
Yeah, you can't
you know
tell
I mean?
When it's actually making money.
If you're, and also if you're having fun.
Right.
I mean, it really is. If you're enjoying being part of it and stuff, it is much harder to, you know, look at that. And that, you know, and as far as I can tell, that's the case for Franklin.
All right. Well, I think we're done. Unless Josh has something else.
No, I'm good. I told you, Jonathan, I needed an hour. You gave me at least 60 minutes. I'm glad Todd could take the hour out of his time.
Yeah.
So.
I talk about wrestling all night, whether it's just local or
that. That's my problem. That's why these podcasts end up going a lot longer than I expect them to, because I can go for hours.
Yeah, that's the same way. I've been drinking beer. I'm talking about wrestling. I mean, you know, I talk about we can talk about All Japan of the 80s. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I was just watching some Champions Carnival the other night. Stan Hansen versus Kawada. Oh, my God, I was marking out.
Yeah, I was just watching Dory, because I was getting excited about Dory. I watched Dory versus Brody from, like, 83 for the international title and stuff.
Yes,
so,
goodness gracious.
Anything involving wrestling history, I'll be more than – you can keep me on the phone. My wife deals with it all the time.
This is why I'm afraid of the WWE Network. I'm going to have, like, no life once Vince puts all that shit up there.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, just waiting for, you know, what stuff, you know, it's like, oh, man, now I got to buy because I want to see this.
Yep.
So.
But John,
right,
I'm done. You can close it out.
All right, cool. we'll definitely have you back, Todd, and we'll talk more wrestling for another hour and a half or whatever. But yeah, we do need to wrap it up. So thanks for calling in and giving us so much of your time.
You're welcome.
And just looking ahead, we talked a lot about Anarchy this Saturday and NWA Atlanta, but we've got a few others. Empire's running in Rossville on Saturday as well. Of course, APW on Friday, and Royston is every Friday. Peach State also has a big show this Saturday in Carrollton, as does Southern Fried Championship Wrestling in Monroe.
Fuck those guys.
Well, they're...
How many shows is that on a Saturday night? Add it up real
quick.
Too
fucking many.
Well, that's,
I mean,
not, that's only. I was just picking out the more important ones listed on GW.
And I know Southern Pride's drawing, but, you know, Chris Nelms, do us all a favor. Stop wrestling and just go and promote, because you're doing a good job with that. And hire somebody to book your fucking shit.
It's amazing,
well,
Georgia can, you know, have that many shows on one night, on a Saturday night.
Yeah. So next week we've got on this show Gregory Iron.
That'll
be
interesting.
He'll be working UIW the following weekend, and I'm working on a second guest. It's either going to be someone from Atlanta Midget Wrestling, but those guys are sometimes hard to get to commit to a time. Maybe Mike Posey. I'm gonna email him and see if he's available. But
it's the way he talks. Posey will be talk like this.
Posey
all
will
the
be
time.
Hilarious. Yeah,
and Posey's awesome.
Well, he was. We had Matt Selden on last week, and Mike, and of course Corey have also been getting a lot of work in Ring of Honor lately. So I'm sure he'll have plenty to talk about. But anyway, I guess that's it for this week. Yeah, that's it. Unless anybody else has anything.
I appreciate you guys having me. I had a great time. I just want
to
say that.
All right, I appreciate you calling, and thanks, Josh, for the extensive interview that I got to listen to.
You can jump in. Trust me.
I knew you guys know each other from way back, and you know a lot more about him than I do, but I kind of just let you have that one. So I'm not complaining at all. But and I'm sure you'll have some stuff for our next week's guest, too.
I will actually have a lot for Gregory Iron if he doesn't have heat with me for my Cole Cabana rant. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll be back next Monday at 7. Until then, there's plenty of wrestling this weekend to check out, so go check it out.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.